Welcome to the Torati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalea Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Bey's Perek Vav. We ended last week's Perek with the conquering of Yerushalayim, and now we're going to get ready to build the Beis HaMikdash. He's victorious, he has peace, and he goes about the business of establishing a hierarchy of order in his land. We're missing details here, but it's clear that there must have been some sort of spiritual awakening. David is planning the first steps of building the Beis HaMikdash and needed the nation to be ready. One of the main things that they needed was to get the Aron back. After the battle of Beis Eli in Shmuel Aleph, the Aron was taken by the Plishtim, where it destroyed, the Aron, destroyed Beis Dagon, the house of Avodah Zarah, and made the Plishtim suffer terribly, after which the Plishtim took the Aron and sent it on its way, put it on a wagon, and just didn't direct it anywhere. The Aron came to Beit Shemesh, where the people did not react appropriately to the appearance of the Aron, and many died, and they asked that it be taken away. So it was sent to a place called Kiryas Yearim, and it's been there now for 20 years, waiting to come back. And so David gathers many people together. Here it says 30,000 people, but Chazal say it was really 90,000 people. In Divrei HaYomim, we hear more details also about how David didn't decide on his own what to do, but consulted with others about what and how to bring the Aron back. In Pasuk Gimel, Vayarkivu es Aron Halakim al Agala Chadasha, they brought it a brand new wagon, and they put the Aron on top of the wagon, Vayisaehu, and they carried it, Mibes Avinodav Asher Begiva, from the house of Avinodav, where it had been, Vuuza Vaachyoi, Bnei Avinodav, and Uza and Achyoi, the children of Avinodav, Noyagim Es Ha'agala Chadasha. They are steering, they are directing, they are guiding this new wagon. There are a couple of mistakes that happened here. In the Midbar, it was clear that those who carried the Aron, namely the children of Kahath, had to carry the Aron on their shoulders, meaning it does not go on wagons. And so too, when they crossed the Yarden and they brought the Aron over, the Aron did not go on a wagon. It was on the shoulders. It's interesting, the Lashon that is used, the language that is used, is that the Aron was carrying its carrier. So even though there were people who were actually carrying it, it was as if they were being lifted by the Aron that they were holding. But the mistake that David HaMelech made here was that he knew that in the Midbar, the Aron doesn't go in a wagon, but he wasn't aware or he wasn't sure that the Aron could never go on a wagon. And therefore, the Aron should not have gone on a wagon here. It should have been carried on the shoulders of the people. Furthermore, it says Uzza and Achia were guiding the wagon. Even the Plishtim, who sent the Aron off on a wagon to go where it may, understood that the Aron, which has tremendous Kedusha, doesn't need a human being to lead it. Why are people leading this wagon? But at this point, no one realized that a dreadful mistake had been made. At this point, there's only celebration. V'David v'chol beis Yisrael, misachakim lifnei Hashem. They are being joyous before Hashem. The word misachakim, the Shirish l'sachek, means to play. But there was some sort of joy and revelry that was going on here. And they were celebrating before Hashem. It says, B'chol atzei bereshim. They were shaking some sort of branches. It's unclear which branches they were shaking, but some of the Mefarshim say perhaps it was happening on Sukkot, and they were shaking the lulavim. And they were playing all kinds of musical instruments, kinoris, nevalim, tupim. There were drums, there were violins, there were all types of exciting musical instruments that were going on. The word mesachakim indicates that perhaps we're missing some of the solemnness that should have been present on this day. Perhaps this is the source of the mistake. There's a certain kovid reish, there's a certain amount of seriousness that had to accompany the bringing the Aron back to Yerushalayim, or bringing the Aron back to Klal Yisrael, and making it a central point again of the Avodah that's going to be happening. And there's a lack of seriousness that was present here on this day. And so then the calamity is going to happen. As they are walking, the Aron begins to slip off the wagon. And Uzza, who is leading the wagon, sticks out his hand to stop it from falling. Of course, this is an instinctive move. He sees the Aron falling off the wagon, and so he's going to save the Aron. But you don't need to save the Aron. The Aron carried the carriers. The Aron is the source, the center of Kedusha. An instinctive move, we're not held responsible for an instinctive move, but if you have the, if you're focused enough, then you don't do instinctive moves. The example would be when a person turns a light off on Shabbos. He's not held chayev. He's not considered that he did something that he actively or with forethought broke Shabbos, broke the halachas of Shabbos. He didn't. It was a mistake. But if you have Shabbos on your head the whole time, you're not instinctively and by mistake turning off the light. And it was the same thing here. The problem wasn't that he stuck out his hand to save it, although that was the last action. The problem was that there was a lack of yira in this celebration of simcha. We have a pasuk, we have words in a pasuk that says gilu berada. We're meant to be joyous, the gil berada, but we're supposed to tremble, we're supposed to shake, which means that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly should be one of love, and it certainly should be one of joy. But we also have to be aware of before whom we stand. We're standing before God. We're standing before the creator of the world. This is his Aron. We're bringing the Aron. Don't lack the understanding of what really is going on here. Another point here is that Torah, when we talk about the all of Torah, the burden of Torah, now it doesn't mean that Torah is a burden, but it does mean that we are carrying the yoke of Torah. It's something that should be carried on our shoulders. It symbolizes the difficult, important work, the crucial work that we do when we are learning the Torah and keeping the mitzvahs. Shouldering the responsibility. Putting it on the wagon is much easier. You put it on and the animals just take it. A person who is a true Eved Hashem is carrying it on his shoulders. It's something that he's aware of all times. It doesn't mean hard. It doesn't mean painful. It just means present and aware. So there has to be simcha. Love is a higher level than fear. However, there must be yira. There must be fear as well. It's interesting because our educational system has shifted tremendously, which means that for centuries, we were brought up, our children were brought up with this, with fear. And somewhere around the last 100 years, it shifted entirely, and even more so in our generation, where our entire way that we have to educate our children and ourselves is with love, meaning we're not meant to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an angry and vengeful God who's going to punish. We focus much more on the loving relationship that we have with Hashem, as we should. But sometimes we lose out by not having the appropriate awe. It's not the fear as much as it's the awe of being in presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And certainly in our age of casual, where everything is casual, this yira is difficult to understand or to accomplish. It's even hard to understand what it is that we are looking for and what we are talking about. In Pasuk Zayin, Vayichar af Hashem be'Uzzah, Hashem gets angry at Uzzah, Vayakehu sham ha'alekim al hashal. And Hashem hits him there because of the shal. Mefarshim translated as because of the mistake that he made. But shal also reminds us of the shal na'alecha me'al reglecha, and perhaps it could be that he walked in front of the Aron with shoes. Moshe was commanded when he came to the sneh, the burning bush, take off your shoes. Again, it's a reference to the reverence and the awe that should be here. So he was hit because of the mistake that was made by Yamasham im Aron Halakim, and he died there by the Aron. And then in Pasuk Ches, Vayichar leDavid, and David got angry. Now it doesn't say that he got angry at whom? He got angry at himself. He couldn't believe that he had made this terrible, dreadful mistake. And he was angry. Al asher paratz Hashem peretz b'Uzzah, that Hashem breached. Hashem came out and he took Uzzah away. Vayikra l'makom ahum, and he called this place Peretz Uzzah ad hayom hazeh. This place is still called, by the time the Navi was written, Peretz Uzzah, the the lack, the loss, the breach of Uzzah. It's amazing David HaMelech's behavior here, because he could have tried to brush it off, perhaps continue with the celebration, which was his first major event as a king when King Louis the 16th became king. There was a party that happened by his coronation, and people were trampled to death because of the free wine that he was giving out. The celebration did not stop. He did not care about the people dying. And here, David HaMelech, his first major event, and such a terrible thing has happened. Not only does he not brush it off, not only does he not continue with it, but he calls the name of the place after it so that he and everyone else should remember what happened and be mechazik themselves, to strengthen themselves, to serve Hashem, yes, with love, but also with fear. And he said, we're obviously not ready for this yet, and we need to prepare a lot better. And so he sends the Aron back to the house of another person whose name is Oved Edom Hagiti, and it's there for 3 months. And the Pasuk describe a lot of bracha in the home of Oved Edom Hagiti, his sons and his wife. They all have many, many children, because they were zeicha to house the Aron. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, after 3 months, Vayal es Aron ha'alekim mi'beis Oved Edom ir David, they're bringing the Aron up now from the house of Oved Edom to the city of David, b'simcha. There was a simcha here. It wasn't a schaik, but a simcha shel mitzvah. It stresses the simcha. And it's also a simcha. It must have been scary for him, but he had the proper bitachon that with the proper preparation, there won't be another disaster as there was before. In Divrei HaYamim, we have a long description of what preparations he made in order to ensure that they were really ready. From now till the end of the parak, he's going to be called David and not HaMelech David, to emphasize that he is acting and he sees himself. He is a king, and he's going to act as a king, but also as a private and regular person. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, we hear that every 6 steps, they bring a karban, many different types of karbanas. It seems that Uzzah walked for 6 steps. He had taken 6 steps before he was killed, and therefore every 6 steps, they brought a karban to express their gratitude that here, we made it another 6 steps, and no tragedy has happened. And it says that David is mecharker b'chol eyes. He is some sort of singing that he is doing. The Medrash asks, what does it mean that he was mecharker? He was clapping his hands and he was saying, Chiri Ram. Chiri means Adoin, the master. The master who is high above. So he is clapping his hands and he is dancing Lefnei Hashem, before Hashem. V'David chagur eifoid bad. And he is wearing a simple vest on top of his golden royal clothes, although there must have been tens of thousands of people there, including many great ones. Just if you see how many karbanos were brought, there was so much meat there. There had to be a lot of people there to eat it. And David is the one who is central here. He is doing the celebrating and he is wearing a plain white ephod, a plain white vest on top of his clothing. The first time that they brought the Aron back, they used all kinds of instruments. Here, they're using just a shofar, betrua and bekol shofar, that he is coming back to instill in them, in Klal Yisrael, this idea of gilu bir'ada. We are joyous, but we are also conscious of the fact that we are doing something that is awe-inspiring, and we need to be behaving appropriately. And now, we're going to see a fundamental disagreement that will shed light on the difference, perhaps, between the way David relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his wife, Michal, who grew up in the house of Shaul. U'michal bas Shaul nishkefa ba'ad hachalain. And Michal, the daughter of Shaul, is looking out from the window. V'tera es hamelech David mefasez u'mecharker lefnei Hashem. She sees him doing his dancing and his jumping that he's doing before Hashem. Vatives loy belipa, and she disdains him in her heart. Michal is probably the person who suffered the most through the whole saga between her husband David and her father Shaul. She had to spend time in the house of Palti ben Laish. She is returned to her husband after the death of her father and her brothers. Everything is difficult. And she is looking from the window, and certainly she must be thinking about the circumstances at which the Aron was taken, the fact that her father isn't there to bring it back. There's actually an interesting medrash that when the Aron was taken the first time after Eli's death, Shaul was young at that time, had rescued the Luchos from the Aron. When the Aron went to the Plishtim's hands, Shaul had somehow managed to get the Luchos out of the Aron. So there's a relationship that Shaul had with this whole story, and the fact that her father wasn't around now to celebrate the return, and the fear of what just happened a few months ago when they tried to get it the first time. Michal, having grown up as the daughter of Shaul, who is an entirely different type of person, must have seen a different type of behavior in her home. Shaul was known to excel in his tznius. Not that David HaMelech wasn't being tznius here. We'll explain it. But Shaul had a different type of dignity about him, and there are many halachas about preserving the dignity of the king. And something about David HaMelech's behavior disturbed her. It's possible, some of Farshim pick up, that the vayives, the disdain she had, could be, maybe, because of the things that she heard about David in her father's house during the time that Shaul was chasing David and persecuting David. And according to the Das Sofrim, this is a lesson to us about being careful about what we say and first impressions and how difficult they are to erase. The fact that she heard her father speaking disdainfully about David will lead her to also look at him with this type of eye. She doesn't say it to anyone else, but she feels it in her heart. The celebration continues, and David continues to celebrate and to dance, and he instituted tefillas, which we still say today. For example, parts of Haidu were written on this day of bringing back the Aron, and he gives every member of Klal Yisrael meat and wine and bread because he wants everybody to feel part of the celebration. And then in Pasuk Chaf, David comes home and he meets Michal. She comes out to meet him. Vatimer, and she says, Ma nichbad hayom hazeh melech Yisrael. How honorable today was the king of Yisrael. You allowed yourself to be revealed before the Amhais Avadav, the maidservants and the servants. You allowed yourself to be cheapened by them. Kihi golais niglais achat harekim. You revealed yourself. It says that in explanation of this, that when he was dancing, his coats must have lifted up and people were able to see his me'il that he was wearing under his upper garments. And you allowed yourself to be revealed like one of the rakim, like one of the low people, like one of the empty people. We see how disappointed and broken she was, that she couldn't hold back and she had to burst out. Where is your tznius? Where is your refinement? And even if you're excited, inspiration should be something personal and private. People don't have to see how inspired you are. It's not tzniustic for the whole world to see your excitement. Let your inspiration also be private. And David disagrees. Vayomer David al Michal, Lifnei Hashem asher bachar bi me'avicha u'mikol beisai. A very sharp comment. He says to her, you know who I was dancing in front of? Not before the maids and the servants. That's not who I was dancing in front of. I was dancing before Hashem, the same Hashem who chose me over your father and his house. And he made me in charge of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael understands my excitement, and they understand why I was dancing, and they understand my joy, that I was doing it before Hashem. Yes, it's true. I was happy, and there was joy there. And it may have been a joy that you don't recognize because it's without the dignity that perhaps your father would have done it differently. But it was lifnei Hashem. It was before Hashem. And he responds in a very, very strong way because he perhaps wants to make it very clear to her. The Mishpat Sayzav picks up that here we say, Vayamer David el Michal. He's speaking to Michal. We know he's speaking to Michal, just the last pasuk. She's the one that was confronting him. But it's trying to tell us perhaps that he didn't answer right away. Perhaps he gave them both time to calm down. She was angry, he was angry, but then he waited and then he called her and he spoke to El Michal. Or perhaps it's pointing out that he spoke to only Michal, meaning he made sure nobody else was around and he was speaking directly to her. And he's saying to her, it's true. It's sneistic for people to keep their inspiration private, but I am the king, the leader of the whole nation, and I have to be an example of the Kavod HaTorah. And for the Kavod HaTorah and for the Aron, I'm going to make it public. That's how I show the Kavod. And he's saying, I'm doing this in front of Hashem. Before Hashem, there's no gaiva. I'm not reik. I'm not empty. But I don't feel like I am a superior person when I'm compared to Melech Malchei HaMelachim before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before Hashem. Comparatively, I am a no one before him, and therefore I can act in this way. And if you think it will be misunderstood, it won't. These amahis that you're making fun of, that you're saying that I'm doing this in front of the maidservants, they are the mothers of Klal Yisrael, and it's a privilege for me to be joyous in front of them. Which one was right, Michal or David? Both of them had valid points, but the hashkacha was machria, decided to the side of David, because in pasuk chaf gimel ulemichal bashal, Michal bashal loy hayot la yeled ad yom moisa. She did not have a child until the day of her death. Now, this is interesting because in Perek Gimel, we see that she did have a child. His name was Yisra'am. So she did have a child, but the question was when she had the child, and there are two differing perushim about when that child was born. Some say that the child was born on the day of her death. So even though she had the child, she wasn't the child's mother. She never got to be the child's mother. Or perhaps this child was born in Chevron, so it would have to be before here. So it could be that from now on, from this time on, she never had any more children. To show, I guess, to teach the lesson that in this case, I guess it's important to be dignified, and it's important to be refined, and it's important, crucial, to be private. But there are times when our inspiration is allowed to overflow, especially if you're in a leadership position, and telling other people or showing other people or demonstrating the excitement and the love in a way that will inspire other people is appropriate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is agreeing here in this particular argument with David HaMelech. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui nishmot imahotenu hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah HaShalom, and Sarah Shankar, Allah HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.